Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from the Artist First World Radio. Tonight we're going to have a big party on our 10 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by Betty and our correspondent, and we're going to be joined by breast cancer survivors Carol Chatelier, and Brenda Ramey, and we will be joined by the iconic 60s group, the Calsills. How's that sound, Nancy?
I think it's great. And what
we're
time
have
is
many
it?
We're people on the line at one time. We're going to
have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, including Corey.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Yep.
First so like you always say, it's time
but
to...
then we'll get into the party stuff.
It's time to kick back.
Relax. Get a martini, everybody. Go put your high heels on. The ones you can't walk in, go put them on now. Sit in your chair with pretty high heels on, sip a martini, and join us for some girl talk.
Exactly. Always fun. Well, Lisa, I know that you had a really busy day. Not only were you busy, but as you were driving to your job, your Bluetooth wasn't working.
God.
That's not fun. And did you get your nails done?
I got my nails done. I got a pedicure. I got a manicure. I had to because once my nails, I know when it's time to get a manicure when I'm using my BlackBerry and it's annoying because I can't type right. That's when I know it's time to get my nails done.
I know. And I think that when you called me at one point today, you couldn't even start to drive yet. You were in the parking lot ready to go to work, but your Bluetooth wasn't working.
It hasn't been working for a couple of days. And, of course, I can't figure out how to set it. I must have touched something on my phone. Nothing happened to the car part of it. It's something I must have hit a button in one of my fervors.
I can't stand
it because I drive a lot and I make most of my phone calls in the car. But I couldn't do it because, you know, you're not allowed to use the handheld set. You get a
now, in Minnesota, you can.
Oh, you can?
In Minnesota, you can, you know, be on your phone. You cannot.
Oh, no.
You can't
I even
text.
Got called once. I had got a $150 ticket.
Yeah.
So we don't do that here.
I remember when I first got a cell phone, oh, I don't know, I bet 10 years ago or so.
Remember how big and thick they were?
Oh, my gosh. How about when you watch Pretty Woman and she has that big one still?
That's hysterical. Even Sex and the City, if you watch some of the original episodes,
right.
They have the big one. Those big, silly phones. They almost look like something Martian-y.
Now, speaking of driving, Lisa, you're lucky you were driving. How about the other day when you couldn't find your car keys?
I had a bad week. I wish I could hit Control-Alt-Delete for the week. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks. But, hey, at least I'm alive, right? I try to look at it that way.
And it's fun, and we're glad. We're always excited about Thursday nights to be on Chit Chat Cafe Live. Always great fun.
Yep. Let's make it more fun. Let's talk to the ladies now.
Yeah, we're very excited. We have had Carol Chatelier on our show before talking about her book, and tonight we're joined by Brenda Ramey. How are you girls?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, great. Tell us, since you were on last, how did the book sales go? A little increase?
Oh, yeah. I've had some increases, and I've had a couple other venues I've had it on. Brenda is my PR person, as we call her. She's helped me a lot. She finds all sorts of spots for me to enter it. And I just got into a Women's Health Magazine online article. And every time it's exposed, it goes up a little bit, so that's great.
And tell us again, for all of our new listeners, the title of your book is, It Is What It Is.
It Is What It Is, Beating Breast Cancer Using Chemo, Radiation, and Email.
Now, how did you think of that title?
Well, I used email a lot to correspond with everybody to let them know how I was doing. And I think now, with Facebook, with everyone using Facebook, I don't think my book would have ever come to be. Because I think it would have been a whole totally different way of communicating with people. So I'm really glad I kind of did it when I did. I used email to correspond with everyone, and it just kind of took off, and everyone kept saying to me, you should keep this as a journal, and it's helpful, and it's this, and it's that, and, you know, you're informing us about how you're feeling and how you're doing, and so I put it together.
And I love your book. You know, it's really fun, too, to read because it's actual word-for-word emails at some points.
Yeah, it's people's emails to me, and like I said, I didn't mean to embarrass anyone by printing their heartfelt emails to me, or I didn't mean to embarrass myself by just spilling my total feelings out, but to me, it's a good read as far as I'm concerned. You know, I really enjoy it, and every once in a while, I pick it up, and I start to read it, and I get sucked into the story, and I think, gee, I wonder what happened to this woman. And
isn't that funny?
Here I am.
Yeah, and I know Brenda does play a very important role, especially in doing Twitter for you and helping out. Brenda, you're fabulous. You're fun to tweet with, and you're fun on Facebook.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm just getting the knack of the tweeting thing. I've never done that before, and I can say I'm not a big fan.
Oh, really? You're not?
I'll do it for Carol. But
I don't tweet either. I personally love it. In fact, I think I'm probably mostly responsible for our 5,487 tweets in 1 year.
Well, I made about 10 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get into it. You know how much I love Facebook. I cannot get into tweeting. I sit there and stare. I don't know what to say. I get speechless, and that's unusual for me.
Lisa is the Facebook queen, and I'm the Twitter queen.
I made the mistake of mentioning Twitter to my daughters the one day, and I immediately got the response, oh, no, you are not starting that. So, okay, so Brenda said, oh, you should go on and tweet this, and I said, nope, not allowed. Facebook is as far as I'll go.
Oh, well, both of you are both cancer survivors, and you're both cancer-free at this point, correct? We're
yes.
so happy.
Thank you.
So
yes, thank you.
After talking to both of you all the time, Lisa and I are always on Facebook with you. You have such positive attitudes. We've had some emails from our listeners that would like some advice with that. They need help with getting their positive attitude back.
Well, okay. Brenda, what do you think?
I am probably the only person in my family without the positive attitude. They used to call me Debbie Downer.
Oh, no.
But so you can't really go by me, but I'm always said that if trying to get through cancer treatment, 99% of it is your attitude. And if you have a support team behind you and friends to speak to and just stay positive, then the rest will just come naturally. And listen to your doctors, obviously. But they're the ones that will set you on the right path physically, but everything else is in your mind, and if you stay positive there, then I think you're pretty much home free.
I agree with Brenda. I mean, I relied a lot on my friends and, like I said, on these emails and such, and I think you kind of have to look on the positive side when you're going into treatment. Brenda was very helpful to me because now you were what, 6 years ahead of me, Brenda?
I was diagnosed in 1998, January of 1999.
Okay, so I was 2005. And, you know, she and I had gotten back in touch. We've been friends since ninth grade. And we got back in touch working on one of our high school reunions. I think it was our 20th. And, you know, just here and there, this is before even email. So this was a letter here or a note card there. And then kind of got back to, talking more and more via email. And she was so helpful to me because it was one of those, I'd go on the computer and I'd say to her, oh, my God, I just read my fingernails are going to peel off. Like,
oh, God.
The side effects they list are horrible. They have to tell you this stuff, though, you know. And she'd say to me, stop reading the Internet. And I'd say, okay, and then a couple days would go by, and I'd read something else, and I'd say to her, my hair's going to fall out again from radiation? And she'd say, what did I tell you? Stop reading the Internet. So that was a big thing for me, and, you know, you just kind of have to look forward. You can't have a pity party. Yeah, some days you feel like it, but you can't. I mean, we had too much going on here. My kids were in high school, and there was marching band, and field hockey, and, you know, you can't miss that stuff. You don't get a second chance at it. So, you know, you just kind of look forward and keep positive, and that's one of the best things about it.
Now, when you lost your hair and all that, did you make up your face every day so you would feel, or did you wear a wig? Did you wear a scarf? How did you deal with that?
My girls and I decided that I was going to do bandanas and not a wig because everybody knew I had it and everybody knew it was coming down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a really great, I had very thick hair, mm-hmm. and I did get a really cute short, like chin-length bob when it started mm-hmm. falling out because mm-hmm. my hair was thinner and it actually looked good. Like I used to look like Rosanna Dana before if I had my hair that short.
Right.
So I looked good, but that only lasted for 5 days. Then it was just gone. But, you know, I got up and I washed my head every day. I wrapped it in a towel. I didn't want to get out of practice. And, you know, I mean, I wore my bandanas to work. I wore Polar Tech hats to work. And I work in a farm, so I'm outside a lot. And, you know, it was fine. Everybody knew it. And I went bald in the house and with some of the kids' friends here, but, you know, not out in public till I started getting a little bit of peach fuzz. But, you know. You do what you got to do. Now, Brenda never lost your hair, right, Bren?
Right. I was just going to say, two people, or three people, four people can all have breast cancer, and you'll have four or five different stories because everybody's case, while they all have breast cancer, will all be different. And I did not lose my hair. I spent $350 on a really nice wig that has been sitting up in my attic. So if anyone needs one, I have one. but I never lost my hair. And, you know, everybody's treatment options are different, and mine said you may or may not lose your hair, and I'm like, okay, and I didn't. So, and
yeah,
I never
wear your wig.
I never missed a day of work, the entire time of treatment, except for the surgery day. That was it.
Yeah. Wow.
God bless
me
you.
Either.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. My wig got the most use during my daughter's senior year of high school. The one girl that was playing the lead in Guys and Dolls, they wanted her to have a little short blonde bob. See, I couldn't find a wig that matched my hair color. I think that's what upset me, too, because I was a strawberry blonde, and there was nothing. It was either too red or too blonde. So I went with the blonde one, and I never used it. But they needed this girl to have a short blonde bob, and she had waist-length black hair. And I said, let me introduce you to my friend. So I brought down the wig and I showed it to her. I don't know how she kept it on her head, and I cringed every. She was Adelaide, who sneezes all the time. I don't know how she kept it on her head, and every time she sneezed, I cringed, thinking it was going to fly off. But that's the only use my wig got.
You girls should wear your wigs; they're fashionable.
And actually, it's the same short little bob that I had for 5 days that I love. So.
Is chemo as bad as they say as far as, like the next day? Like, are you that sick, like, throwing up and laying on the bathroom floor? You feel like you're going to die? Is it as bad as they make it sound?
I craved, on the way home from chemo, I stopped and got a pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks, and I craved jalapeno peppers and chicken parm, like, on the nights after treatment. I was never sick at all.
Really? Isn't that
yeah.
funny?
I kept a margarita bucket in the back of the car just in case, and never needed it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. They give you a lot of anti-nausea medication now while you're having treatments.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in with your IV,
mm-hmm.
and you know you take steroids like the day before and the day
mm-hmm.
after. The thing that made me the most sick was it's called Neulasta, I think. It was an injection I had to have 24 hours later for your white blood count, and that made me feel like I was 100 years old, just for the day. But that was it. I was
Did
never
you smell
sick at all.
Like sulfur? I heard you smell like sulfur.
No,
Did that
I don't
happen
think
or
so.
No?
I don't know. Nobody said it to me.
Oh, good. Okay.
Maybe they weren't being honest with me, but I don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I was never sick once the entire time, the whole time of treatment, and I made a point of drinking gallons of water when I went for my treatments because I figured if they're pushing that poison into me, I'm going to flush it right back out.
That's exactly what I did,
and I was never sick a day. And when I went to my first oncology appointment, I said, I'm not afraid of any of this. I said, but I don't want to throw up because I have been paranoid about that since I was a little girl. And he goes, well, take care of it. And not once.
Yeah,
me, the entire thing, that entire year-long process between the surgery and the chemo and the radiation, which, by the way, I had broken my shoulder rollerblading in the middle of all of that. That's another story. But the entire treatment was more of an inconvenience than anything else in my life, anyway. I mean, I'm sure other people have had other issues, but mine, it was nothing but a pain in the neck. So,
well, I had read in one book before I started treatment that to eat celery while you were taking your treatment, and that would help you with nausea, and because it's a lot of water and everything else. So I would bring a bag of celery. So I had 6 treatments, and by the 6th treatment, it was taking me longer and longer to chew the celery. Like, I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I still have not eaten really like a stick of celery. I'll eat it in salad, or like a turkey salad or chicken salad or something, but I can't look at it to eat. Maybe it's like psychological for me, but
yeah.
You know.
Maybe with peanut butter. Put some peanut butter on it.
True. No, but that, you know, that was the thing. They said it helped with the nausea, and I never wanted to jinx it and not take it with me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, but I mean, to me it was, and I'm not being flip about it either. It was a big, like, nothing. I was scared to death the first appointment. You know, they take their time. They go very slow with everything. They explain everything, what they're doing. So it took me probably 4.5-5 hours the first time. And I was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. But it really, I mean, I waited that night to feel sick, but I had nothing. So I think everything's come a long way.
Did you feel, like, really tired and lethargic the next couple of days?
Just the 12 hours after that injection. That was it. I mean, I never missed a day of work either. And, you know, I work at a turkey farm, so we're very busy in October and November, which is when I started my treatments. And, you know, you don't miss a beat. You can't, you know?
Now,
so it was an interesting process.
Say a year or two down the road after the treatments are done, do you really feel like your old self again?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, you never feel like you had that? It didn't leave you on any side effects, like, years later?
The only side effects I have are my toes are numb.
Really?
My toes are numb, and it was from one of the chemo drugs, and they said it would come back, and it never did. And then I had to take Coumadin for a while because I had a blood clot from developed from somewhere, and the Coumadin, they said that's another thing for neuropathy. So it's just a way of life. I mean, but that's all I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I don't think, Brenda, you don't have anything, right?
Nope, not a thing. I have sore shoulders from when I broke it rollerblading. That's it.
You broke you were rollerblading after you were diagnosed, right?
Oh, yeah. I rollerbladed the whole treatment. And I was in the middle of, actually, when I went for my radiation, they were going to do my radiation first. And they send you they put you in like a mold so that your arms are over your head, and so you'll stay in that same position every time you go. And I went to the mold, and they did that. And then at the last minute, the doctors decided, oh, well, let's not do the radiation first. Let's do the chemotherapy first. I'm like, okay. So off I went to chemotherapy. And then at some point in the middle of that treatment, I broke my shoulder rollerblading. After that was all over with, I had to go back to radiation and use the same mold to put my arms in over my head. I'm probably the only person in America to have painful radiation treatments because I couldn't put my arms over my head.
Oh,
that's it. That was my only trouble. Yeah,
well, we just applaud you and think that you two breast cancer survivors are fabulous, and we're honored to have you celebrate Breast Cancer Awareness Month with us on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Well, thanks. I mean, this is the month where everything pink comes out, and pink is my least favorite color. My daughter came home today. She had eggs she had bought. She was making chocolate chip pumpkin muffins today. And she says, oh, my God, Mom, look at this. She goes, the eggs even have little pink ribbons on them. I was like, oh, my God.
Jeez.
It's like you can't escape it. And when I was, being that I was diagnosed in August and had my surgeries in August and September and then started treatments in October, everybody was bringing me pink stuff. So I had pink socks, and I had pink shirts, and I had pink this and pink that. And I was just cringing. Like,
probably
oh,
really
my God.
It.
Even pink M&Ms. Like, oh, no. So, oh, that was another thing I did. I lost my taste for chocolate. I used to crave chocolate. I used to get up in the morning, like the breakfast of champions, a handful of M&Ms and iced tea, and it tasted like dirty pennies in my mouth.
Ew.
And I never really got that craving back for chocolate.
Mm.
And now I eat more like Sour Patch Kids or like lemon drops, any fruity stuff. That's strange to me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, a bowl of M&Ms could sit in my house for 3 months now, so...
And if I can just make two quick comments, I don't know how much longer we have, but...
Everybody's on. Our party's ready to start, but you make your comments. Go ahead.
All right. For anybody who's listening out there, if you ever doing yourself, your breast health exams, which are very important, make sure that if you do feel something and your doctor says it's nothing, get a second opinion, because that's what happened to me. I found something, my doctor said, don't worry about it, and I didn't, and I waited, and I shouldn't have. You best to get to go for a second opinion, because you know your body better than anybody else. And the other thing is, I was listening to the other woman talking about how her book got into Harvard and how it's a required reading material. I have said to Carol from the very beginning when she first had this book published, I said, you have to get this book into a nursing school. I don't know how to go about that, but if there are any nurses or doctors listening out there, this book is highly recommended by Carol's oncologist, my oncologist, and it should be recommended reading for everybody in nursing school. And my niece, who is also just graduated from nursing school, she loved the book, and she has taken positive things from it as well.
So she had a great thing. She had a great review on my website, Meredith, her niece, about how there is a person behind the patient. And the nurses where I was were fantastic. But, a lot of people forget that there is a real person in there. And her, she said she appreciated that there was a sense of humor put to having cancer. And you really don't think of cancer and funny in the same sentence. But, mm-hmm. You've read my book. You find the humor in it. I mean, you can't, I couldn't help but not be humorous about it, because that's just the way I am,
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, but I appreciated,
well,
we've been trying to figure out how to get it into a nursing school, but we'll get there.
Listen, maybe we can help you somehow. We got to think about this.
Yeah.
We got to brainstorm.
Yeah.
Well, Betty Ann, are you here?
I'm here.
Betty Ann's here.
Hi, Betty Ann.
Hi, Betty Ann.
Bob, are you here?
No. Bob who?
Bob Castle. Who else?
Yeah, guilty as charged.
What?
Hi. I am here. I've been listening to everything.
Paulie, are you here?
I am here from Oregon, yes.
Susan, are you here?
Oh, my God, yes, I am, and it's been hell just trying to bite my lip listening to all this.
Well, I tell you what, the last time the guys were on, the Castle Men, we were talking vaginas, and tonight we're talking boobs.
Right?
I know.
And I think it's incredibly appropriate, and I, being the only sister of seven boys or six boys,
maybe the boob guy.
You all be in the boob guys. But
no,
seriously, I came in early just to make sure I was on time. And this is the hardest thing ever, because it says in my email, silently wait. And I'm just sitting here going, oh, because I have lots of stuff to say. But anyway, go ahead. Hi, y'all.
Well.
Who said hi, y'all?
That was me, Bob.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Bob.
How are you doing?
Well,
so,
girl.
Hey, guys, let's take this opportunity. We want to take this opportunity to do one thing first, okay?
Go ahead.
And that is to say that we want to sign you three girls up for the bus tour to go and dance in go-go cages on our stage when we go on a tour.
Yeah, we want to.
You doing, girls? Study
yeah.
In?
Huh?
Dance in? We're in.
Yeah, I'm in. That sounds like great fun. We had a great time at B.B. King's that night. That was really the red carpet treatment.
I'm not
honestly,
dance again, though.
I never really, really thought that you guys would really be on that stage that night. You know, when you do something months ahead, oh, yeah, sure, come on down there. Oh, yeah, sure, come on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, time goes by, and you go, yeah, like, are they even going to go, you know? It was funny.
Now.
There you were. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, you never know.
So, okay, and I have to say something.
Good.
As the sister of the most beautiful man on the planet, in the 60s, and I always hated every girl that ever walked up to our front door that wanted to even talk to them. You guys were adorably welcome, And I thought, well, why didn't these chicks show up early on in my time? Because you guys were gracious, you knew how to behave, and you also, and I also knew what the agenda was. But at least you all knew how to behave yourselves.
It was good. I was then with, yeah, because once you got on stage, we don't know you. God, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Hey, it was awesome, Bob, Susan. And so I'm sitting at the center of the stage, and, you know, the song is moving. And so, I mean, that's what we're there doing, and you guys are in back of me. And so the show ends, and I'm in the dressing room, and I say to Brendan, I go, so, Brendan, did they dance? And Brendan looks at me, and he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, Dad, they danced. He says they really knew how
Congratulations,
to dance.
Girls.
Yeah.
Well, it was great fun dancing to Hair, and we'd love to join you again sometime. That was great fun.
Hey, that could have been the first annual. You never know.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Hey, I did want to mention something, you guys.
We'll be there.
Yeah, and also we're going to be playing at the Log Cabin in Holyoke, Massachusetts in April. Maybe you guys could make it there. But, you know, the a family band, The Council Story, was shown at the Vermont Film Festival this past weekend. We were playing in Florida, so we weren't there. But it won grand prize.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool.
Yay!
And that was the second award of the season. We've only just begun. You know, I feel like when, like, Susan, listening to the first show, it's like, you know, it's quite somber and serious. And I'm sitting here going, okay, you know, I don't want to sound disrespectful by having fun right away here, you know, because it's like so serious.
But
you know,
I understand, Bob.
Yeah, when you said
about
you
guys, go ahead.
Wait, Paul, let Bob finish. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you said, Bob, are you there? I was going to deny it. I didn't know if we were still on your show. It was funny. Go ahead, Paul. I'm out.
Oh, but we can be funny right after that, because that gal who was, like, saying how she hated Pink, I'm thinking, you know, it's Lisa or Betty Ann or one of the gals, and it was actually the gal that had the cancer was saying how much she hated Pink, and it was, like, making her nauseous. So I thought that was pretty funny.
She's still on the phone.
And
Carol,
she's,
you have a bottle? Yeah, I'm here.
And they wanted
to
say hello to you, and they wanted to say hello to you.
One at a time, you guys.
I am a definite Pink hater. I grew up hearing the words "redheads can't wear pink" my whole life, so I never liked Pink. And it just, you know, just so happens to everyone giving me pink gifts. And I said right down to the pink M&Ms. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But don't you have a new appreciation for Pink, though? I mean,
yes,
I grew up with six boys. And Pink was not in my house. Oh, okay, yeah. It just wasn't. It just wasn't. Navy blue. That was pretty much the
color. We had a navy blue home.
But I've learned to love pink, and it takes on different ramifications. And I think a worthy appreciation of pink is the breast cancer awareness, don't you?
Yes. I mean, I do my share of pink. But, you know, you can even ask my girls. They say, Mom, you dressed us like little boys when we were little with primary colors, because they had red hair, too, you know. And I figured my mother would haunt me, you know.
Hey, Susan, when she was growing up, she looked like a logger.
Please explain, Paul.
You know, like flannel shirts and jeans.
Yeah, I did. I was Brawny Jr.
Yeah.
I still look like that.
And happy to be. We've all come here today.
What's the furthest country we're talking to right now? Tell me.
Well,
India?
I know that our military is listening right now. Our military is listening in Afghanistan.
Holy cow.
Really?
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
I love it.
Are they wearing pink in Afghanistan this week?
Some of them might be, just to celebrate the month.
Yeah, but probably if they're in the field, they're not going to wear pink, because that's a really bright color.
It would have to be pale. It would have to be a very pale, like a camo.
Yeah, a camo pink. Camo pink, I don't
know. Okay, gentlemen, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty.
Yeah.
Anne, do you have things you actually want to ask us, or shall we run our mouths?
Well, we really also wanted to celebrate.
About the council story. Let's hear about the council story.
Which council?
Oh, about the Navy.
Your family band, the council story.
The one that's
okay, Bob or Paul, who wants it?
Bob.
Bob.
Well,
go ahead, Bob.
Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you the story, okay, of how it began. Because this woman, Louise Palenka, found me at my pub. I played a pub out here on a consistent night, so everyone knows I'm there. And she came up one day and said, hey, would you mind if we did a movie on your, a documentary on your family? And I just kind of shrugged it up. We weren't doing anything. You know, I'm going like, what? I mean, how could you know about my family anyway? And was it going to be a behind the music? Is she telling us, a half hour of going up and a half hour of going down? Well, the final, and just to jump way ahead, actually is about 45 minutes of going up and 45 minutes of going down, but it's not a behind the music kind of movie, it turned out. But she wouldn't go away. And so I figured I needed to ask the siblings.
You mean she kept persisting, Bob? Isn't that what you meant to say?
She kept persisting. She kept coming back to my pub. You know, and you know what she even said once? Well, we just want to know, and I could tell she, I mean, how do you know who you're talking to? She goes, we just want to know how you got on the Ed Sullivan Show, you know? I'm going, oh, so all the good stuff, how we became famous and stuff? Yeah. You know, well, then the real story comes out, and we even went through a film crew and had to move beyond them because the first posters that were coming out of the documentary were like Vincent Price-type posters with, you know, on
they had us behind bars with blood dripping down.
Behind the scenes, and right, out of the wood scenes, we have blood dripping in a trail like, you know, Freddy Krueger just got through.
It looked like a trailer for the Wolfman.
And it was all about Dad at that point.
Yeah, we were going into Dad's movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dad's Wolfman movie.
Yeah. So, and he truly is the true, one of the great Shakespearean characters in the story, as it turns out. But he's in his proper spot now, and, you know, it took 7 years to do. We stopped it for 2 years, you know, when we bumped into the Vincent Price crew. And boy, they weren't going to let us hold anything out. I mean, it was like, you're not going to say that? Well, I'm not going to do it. All right.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Bob Calso. Can I say that what I feel is the ultimate culmination of this movie, we started it, like Bob said, 7 or 8. It was before Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. And quite honestly, had we finished it any time sooner than it was done, the whole story wouldn't have been told because we all got back together after Katrina, after losing Barry, and after losing Bill. And this story actually has an end/non-end. To it now. I mean, we reunited as a band and as a family. We were
kind of
the
start of a new beginning. Yeah,
beginning, and it really wouldn't have been the same story. And so I'm actually quite grateful that it took as long as it. I mean, everything happens for a reason, and this thing took as long as it took for a very good reason because the story wasn't over yet, and it's still not over. But it at least there was some kind of understanding of what happened. You know, to this family and where, excuse me, and where we're at right now. And I, for one, when I watch this thing, which all the, me, Bob and Paul, we don't watch it anymore. Because, you know, we don't need to see this movie over and over again. But it is really, it has a poignant, quote-unquote, ending, which is just, like Bob said, a new beginning. And I'm glad it took all the time it took and going through all the people it took us to go through. And Louise and Ian stood by us and went all the way, and we went to awards, and that's really cool.
And the other thing about it, too, that is unique, I think, or I don't know if it's unique, but Bill and Barry are actually in the film on tape. I mean, Bill is the hero of the movie as far as, you know, I mean, not taking anything away from anybody else, but, you know, we worked on this
thing. No, but truly, Paul, you're right.
Yeah.
We would not have had Billy narrating us through this whole thing.
Right.
Had it come out.
Can I just quickly tell your listeners that the reason what Paul and Susan are saying is amazing is because during the filming of the documentary, we lost Barry in the Katrina hurricane. He drowned in that hurricane. And the day we were having his service in Newport, Rhode Island, on February of that, you know, the hurricane hit in September. They found him in February, in December, and we had his service in February. Bill died. So they're both gone. Yet now that's why we're amazed at their presence in the documentary still, even.
Yeah, and as Bob is saying, I mean, we lost these two guys, but we had this project not taken all this time, we would not have the footage of Billy
right.
sharing his vast knowledge of what actually went down, and footage of Barry, and it really.
It's
going to
be like they're alive, you know. I mean, people
yeah,
are going to watch this movie,
it's
and they're going to hear
like
about
that.
People dying.
It's like they're Muppets.
Yes, that's
sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry, hey,
so
are you still here with us?
We Ooh. Love this. We can't wait to see the movie.
Yeah.
Where
oh,
is
it's
it playing?
Awesome.
Where can everyone see it?
Well, right now,
Bob,
it's in, right now it's in film festivals, and this is a new world to us, but we've entered it, and the gist of it is, you go to a film festival or you get in one, and it's good that it wins awards, so we're doing good there, we're told. And you get distribution. And eventually, the movie ends up in a jewel case, and on the other side are the bonus DVDs with the interviews. Like Bill's, all of our interviews are long, but only parts of them are in the movie. So you get the whole interviews. We'll have outtakes that landed up on the editor's floor because you can't have an 800-hour documentary. And it'll be end up, that's the
that's
ultimate
the
goal.
But the other thing also is that, you know, in my opinion anyway, in Paul's opinion, we'll say.
Which I find very valid. Go ahead, Pauline.
Well, thank you, dear Susan.
You're welcome, darling.
I think it's a stepping stone.
I wonder if the second sister would.
It's a stepping stone to other things. You know, this documentary, all the time we put into it, when we first saw it, I mean, I know everybody thought, well, Jesus, where am I? You know, and it wasn't, you know, and my wife, you know, and I was worried about where I was going to be and how I was going to be betrayed. And one time, Luann, my wife, says to me, she goes, Paul, you know, get over it, dude. The movie's not about you. And as soon as I wrap my head around that, you know, then I realized what we were telling a story. We're not making a movie. But what this documentary does is it clears away all the dirt and leaves and everything off of all these tunnels about our life. Now, the first producers, aww, they decided to go down the first tunnel. Now, these are rabbit holes. You can go down any one of these many rabbit holes that the documentary just clears, brushes away, and you get to see a little bit into it. And you can never get out of the rabbit hole. The first producers, they went down the first rabbit hole, which was the dad rabbit hole, and they never got out of it. So what was really nice about this documentary is that they brushed away all the dirt and the leaves about all the stories that are there. So I'm thinking somebody's going to come along and they're going to want to delve a little deeper into these rabbit holes and create more like a, you know, like a real movie, a dramatic rendition of this documentary.
And hey, can I say who plays me?
Can you say who plays you? No, no, no,
yeah,
no. Mia Farrow's going to say who plays you.
Excuse me, Bob. I think that those days are way over. I want
okay,
that chick, Emma Stone. I want Emma Stone to play me. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, good. How old?
Well, she'll have to play me when I'm older, I guess.
Susan, if they do the whole thing, the miniseries, they're going to need four of you. So, you know, you'll
I'm
be in on all
wait.
Of them.
I'm thinking that she could get on her knees and put her hair up and... Never mind. All right, guys.
Hey, Susan.
An 19-year-old Susan, cocaine drain.
Joe Jett, when she was 18, because we were both doing the same drug.
Oh, we'll have to
I'm
get
sorry,
somebody
did I just
to play
say
her
that?
Then, too.
Jesus.
Yeah, we
sorry,
want Charlie
girls.
Sheen
girls,
to play
are you
dad.
Still here, please?
Oh, yeah, well, we want to know who's going to play Bob.
Oh,
you
I know. You know who it would have been? It would have been Donovan. Wait, Paul, hush.
It would have been Robbie Benson.
No. Bob, okay. I know. Listen to me. Y'all guys, listen to me.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really early on, it would have been the guy who played Robbie Douglas in My Three Sons.
Right.
And then as they progress.
Wait, who's my friend on Facebook? Don Grady.
Robbie Benson?
No.
Don Grady. Robbie from My Three Sons.
Right. Because Bob used to look
like
that.
Oh, yeah. Benson. I got it. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
And then
okay, Robbie from My Three Sons.
Yeah. Correct. And then in 1969, Bob started looking like Donovan. And so I think, and maybe we could get Dono, who is friends with Vicky's.
But all those guys, we need to look at their kids. All those guys are my age now. We're playing me as a 16, 17-year-old.
Hey, Brendan can play me as a teen all
Brendan
the way
through
my 30s.
Brendan can play you, Paul.
He looks just like me.
Paul's son, Brendan, could play Paul. Okay, that's settled.
Yeah.
Well, I think if it goes to the mini-series, we should have the Chit Chat Cafe Live girls come on and do the dancing.
No, we need to come down to the Chit Chat Cafe. And by the way, I love the new lighting. We need to come down to the Chit Chat Cafe and perform.
I think you guys need to sing for us right now. Sing us a little something.
You know
for
how
real?
Hard that is in three different states.
Oh, come on. You can do it.
Which one is talking to us right now? Is this Lisa Nancy or Betty Ann?
I'm Lisa. I'm the one that asked you to sing. I'm the one with horrible
Lisa.
New Jersey accent.
She's the one with all the balls.
I have a request. Sing here so we can dance.
Okay, is that Nancy or Betty Ann?
That was Betty Ann.
Betty Ann.
Okay.
A one and a two and a...
Wait, what are we doing?
You're singing hair. Go ahead. Betty Ann. Lead
them. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on. All right, ready? All
right. Wait, Bob. Bob, are you leading us into hair? Seriously?
Get ready, girls. Let's do our dance.
Betty Ann, you can't lead us into hair. Bob has to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, is this what we're doing?
It was hair. Long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, steaming, waxing, waxing. Give me down to there.
Hair.
Oh, thanks.
Somebody's
delayed. Can you hear the guitar? I'm trying to get a guitar.
Hey, 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 hey. Can. You. Hear. Me.
Susan and Paul, let's just do the intro one time, just the first lines to say we did it from three different states. I don't think we've ever done
we
that.
We can do that, but I guarantee you guys it's going to cancel out. But let's give it a whirl. Let's do it.
Okay, I'll count to three. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Did you hear it?
Did anybody fucking hear that?
Loved it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm circling the planet and we're in a space capsule for crying out loud.
Yeah, and Susan is on about a half a second delay.
Thank God, because
I cussed. Is that because of Katrina, Susan?
Yes, Bob, it's because of Katrina. We're still feeling the effects of Katrina, and that's what that's about.
Maybe we should try the rain, the park, and other things.
No, we're done doing this. You need to ask good questions.
No, I think...
All right, here's a good question. This is Nancy.
Okay, Nancy.
Where
okay,
are you performing
Nancy.
Next?
We're doing three days in a row. Does anyone know the dates?
Yes, April 17th, 18th, and 19th.
That's a long way away.
Yeah, well, the next time we're performing, literally, will be at Bob's daughter Courtney's wedding.
Nice.
And
yep.
That is on October
22nd.
October 22nd.
Publicize Courtney's wedding.
Well,
do you want to have
like
filet mignon?
Paparazzis.
Hey, you girls, let me tell you something. Can I talk about that wedding for a minute?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, listen to me. Here's the deal.
Listening.
Everybody's different. I mean, I got a son that gave us 2 days warning, and I was standing watching Johnny Depp marry him in Vegas, you know, at a pirate wedding. So it's like, I can't complain too much. But this one is Princess Kate. Okay, and Princess Kate's wedding said what I'm going through because of the timing of its event itself and what it did to my daughter. Not that she was going to get up to that level at all, but she took it to the highest level she could in my environment. And it's like, I mean, I'm talking cake tasting. I said, after five cake tasting trips, I kept telling them, still, you haven't beat the cake at Albertson's. And they didn't. They never
that
did.
That has buttercream frosting.
Paul, you can't find buttercream frosting anywhere. Everybody
guys,
went to
I
cream cheese.
Cream frosting.
I know, but you
but the cake has to have buttercream frosting.
What? Don't worry about the wedding cake. I moved. They didn't hear from me very often.
Okay.
Okay, y'all guys.
But
this out.
The cake is great. The cake's great.
Y'all guys.
Me.
Y'all guys.
You
y'all guys. I am singing Ave Maria alone.
Oh, let's hear a sample. Let's hear a sample.
Oh, no, I haven't even learned it yet. And I'm doing it in
Latin.
Oh, I love
that song.
Ave Maria.
You want to know why I know that's Bob? Because he sounds like Uncle Bobby, my mother's brother.
Yeah. Listen, Susan. Susan.
Yes, Rob.
So, Susan.
Yes, Rob.
Susie Q. So, are you? Bobby Q. I can't accompany you.
I know that, dude. I know you're going to be the sweating man in the
tuxedo. Oh, I didn't know that you had been told that. All right.
No, you're the father of the bride. Look, I'll either do it by myself, or maybe Jason can do it with me. I'll figure it out. Just don't, I don't want you to even worry, honey. You just worry about paying for this wedding, okay?
Oh, no, listen. I am so not in the loop of anything, and I love it. I'm fine except for the cake, and we took care of that.
Okay. But
the gown, no matter what, it's going to be beautiful.
Hey, wait, you guys. Wait, Bob and Paul.
Yes.
Me and Russ and the kids are coming in at three different times on Friday. Are any of you available to help pick up at the airport?
Yes.
Friday. I don't know when I'm coming in.
Just one, the third one coming in. That'll be my third round trip. It's not going to be pretty.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming in on Friday.
I think we need to steer back to Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann. Yes. Hi, girls.
Oh, okay, make your wedding.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of cake?
This is like reality radio. Okay?
Hey, y'all, hush.
Let the girls talk.
I'm sorry.
Hey, girls.
Well, you didn't tell us what kind of cake.
Bob, what kind of cake?
Please. This is going to be the best tasting wedding cake. It's actually going to be eaten. How about that?
Well,
and it's going to be the best tasting wedding cake ever. I'm not going to tell what it is. It's just a little special thing. And You'll want milk immediately.
No, are you going to have it there?
Okay. Yeah, there's got to be milk, man. Believe me. If there isn't, there will be. Good, Paul. I'll tell her.
Okay, good.
You guys are unbelievable.
Hey, listen. Hey, are you guys in New York?
I'm in New Jersey. Betty Ann's in New Jersey, and Nancy's in Minnesota. When are you coming to New York again?
Hey, Nancy, I'm coming to a wedding in Minnesota in 3 weeks.
Where are you going to be? Which town?
70 miles out of Minneapolis. I don't know what direction. I don't know what town yet.
You don't know the little town? Oh, that'd be so fun. You're going to have
a
good time.
It's on a lake.
Minnesota is gorgeous this time of year.
Now, listen, this is the weekend of November 6th. I get a question. Is autumn gone already?
By then, yes.
Bummer.
Oh,
but, you know, though, it might not be this year because today it was like 87 degrees.
Well, if it stays warm and gets cold later, I mean, I might get some. But I know it's not going to be vibrant. But, you know, no one has as good autumn as New England anyway, so I don't know. Hey, but, you know, we played at the Taste of Minnesota, I don't know, what, 3 years ago, you guys?
Yeah.
And it was right at the foot of St. Paul. And it was the first time I had pork chops on a stick.
Yeah.
And I ate pork chops on a stick. I had 10 of them over 2 days.
I think you should come to the Minnesota State Fair again to the Happy Together Tour. I want you to do that.
Well,
it's funny you should
say
that. Can I say this? It's funny you should say that because our agent, Mitchell Cardoon at TCI International in New York, by the way, is submitting us for the Happy Together Tour, is submitting the councils for that tour. We heard the news, and it's true, but we haven't heard back yet. In fact, you know, the business hasn't changed a lot. You don't hear back a lot. But, you know, when you do hear back, you just hope it's good news.
But maybe,
I hope it's good news.
Yes,
I went to that tour this year. It was fabulous, concert.
Well, that's great.
But it would have been even better if we were in it.
That's what I was thinking.
So, listen, here's what I'm thinking. You guys have a lot of people listening right here. So maybe everybody could make their way to the Happy Together Tour homepage and solicit the councils.
Yes.
We'll kind of backdoor
it. All that is nothing short of brilliant.
Well, hey, listen, they're agencyparadise.com. That's so easy to remember, you guys. Come on. Who doesn't want to go to Paradise? Paradise.com. You can email them.
Yes. And ask for the councils to be put on the Happy Together Tour, or you
won't. If there's a movement out there.
The councils aren't on it.
listen, little soldiers, okay? You're little soldiers. What is God, Lady Gaga, and her little what?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm talking to the big soldiers out there that are listening that can make this happen.
Yeah, no, I'm saying. I'm
monsters.
Hold on, little monsters.
Ladies is trying to talk, gentlemen.
Well, we have little soldiers, so all you soldiers, get out there, do it. We can get on that tour and be fun, and we'll come to your town.
Paradise.com, do it right now. It'll be wild. We'll bust their bridges.
It's called the Happy Together Tour. And it's really a fun tour. It's got multiple acts on it. It's like that. The Turtles and... Was Mickey don't know? Mickey wasn't there this year. He went off with the monkeys again.
And if you dial now, you can get some Ginsu knives.
Yes. Be there Saturday.
Are you guys?
Hey, while you guys are out there and you're in the mood, just after you're done with Paradise and the Happy Together Tour and the Turtles, go look up Paul Revere and the Raiders, okay? And tell him the same thing. All right? There you go, folks.
Yep.
I love it.
Oh my God, you guys.
This is great. And we will.
Wait, while you're at it, call Captain Kangaroo. We'd love to be on his show. And if all these other things fall through.
No, seriously, I got something serious to say, though. Seriously.
Good, Bob.
Also,
good.
We will hop a plane. And I know you guys are young over there. I get that, okay? But we're a good history lesson for rock and roll for guys like you. We will hop a plane and come to Afghanistan and play for you. You know, and we can give you a nice musical history lesson.
Oh, my God, we so would do that.
We can give you a good history lesson. I mean, you guys know these songs anyway. And, you know, we could, anyone want to set that up with us, just call our representative, Mitchell Cardoon at GCI International in New York. Yeah. We'll do it. That'd be fun. Put an old show up there. You know, you guys like our music. We know all the next generation. The great thing about the boomer music from the 60s is that the generation that followed and the one after that like it too. They like our music.
Yep.
We didn't like our parents' music. This is unique.
Our kids actually like our music. When are you coming to New York again?
When are we coming to New York again?
I could come next weekend.
Sounds BB King's in July.
July?
Probably.
Oh, that sounds like a great time.
Unless they have a viewing of our documentary, which is more likely to happen, okay? And it's more likely to happen in New York City if it's one of the next cities that come on board, probably. So I will, and Susan and Paul will help, we'll all help to remind you guys if that takes place. Either there's a Paley Center in New York, we know, and we were well-received at the Paley Center in Beverly Hills when they screened it, so you never know what can happen, and that can happen a lot sooner than you can imagine.
There's also a gigantic film festival in New York also, guys. So.
Yeah, and there's one on, there's probably more than one.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. So you never know.
You never
know. One way or another, with a movie or a performance, we will be there.
Well, if there's dancing, we'll be there.
Yes.
I certainly hope so.
There is always
dancing.
You guys
are adorable.
Well, you are too, Susan.
We want to see your movie. Is it going to be at the Sundance Film Festival, you think? You're going to try to get it in that?
We've submitted to Sundance, and I hope that they ask us to join them. I hope so, because I want to go there.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. We were in the Rhode Island Film Festival. We submitted there. They had 4,900 entries. They chose 1,500 for the overall film festival. And we got in, and we won the first place.
Grand prize. We got a blue ribbon.
People's Award.
Wow.
Sundance, there are over 11,000 submissions to Sundance. Do you see that leap? And I can't remember what they accept. I mean, a lot. You know, it's relative, so probably 4,000. But you see what you're up against, what you go in with. Your category isn't 10,000 films. You know, they have way beyond just documentaries. So we're focused when we get in and that. Look, we're clearly a documentary. There's no
difference. Lisa, Nancy, Betty Ann, perhaps we can take one more opportunity here to tell your audience to please call Sundance Film Festival, go on their homepage, and request that the Council movie be accepted.
We'll do that.
We could do that. All of you Chit Chat Council soldiers, listen to Paul.
Yeah, yep. We're going to do that. We are going to tweet about it and blog everything, trying to get you to Sundance.
Yes.
Yay.
Awesome.
Because we'll go there and perform. That'll be fun.
And then you guys can be part of our entourage.
That would be
and
cool.
And make sure you meet Robert Redford.
Ooh,
and listen, oh, I will loan all you girls my white go-go boots without skid marks.
Ooh, okay. Sounds good. I'm in.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if this is relative, but it is the it is the bottom of the fifth inning, and Detroit is beating New York Yankees 3-1.
Paul, I can tell you right now that it's so not relative to me.
It is relative, Susan, okay, to some people.
Yeah, Bob, guess what? Guess what's relative to me? I've got Prince Campy waiting for me. That's relative to me.
What if he said the New Orleans Saints were winning in the third quarter?
Talking about the New Orleans Saints, which also reminds me, gentlemen, your niece is graduating high school this year.
Wow.
What's the date?
I just thought I'd throw that out. That's relevant to me.
Yeah. What's the date?
Graduation pictures.
Listen, can we have once a week on your show? We got a lot done in the family this way.
Well, I think that we need to have another show with you guys just to do your family reunion stuff.
Wait a minute, Susan. I really need, I'm sorry to push the host aside. Susan, I need another date of the graduation.
Okay. I'm going to tell you when I see you next week for your kid's wedding. All right. We'll deal with
this
later.
Oh, my God.
Later.
I forget we're going to see you. I'll see her or after.
Lisa, Nancy, Betty Ann.
Okay. I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
Lisa,
yeah.
Nancy, and Betty Ann.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having us on, for tolerating our ridiculousness.
You're
and
fun.
And for being our most bestest go-go dancers.
Well, you guys are fabulous. You rolled out the red carpet for us, and we just think the world of you.
Well, that's awesome.
Y'all
you know
so
what?
Sweet.
I'm going to make a suggestion here, you guys. Why don't we do a remote? Why don't we do a remote show? I'll do it from the wedding, from Bob's daughter's wedding, and I can call in and I can go around and we can talk to all the people at the wedding. And
now that would be great fun.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What, Bob?
Any of the cheerleaders can answer this one. I want to know how many girls you had to go up against to get to be an NFL cheerleader. Tell
over
me about
600.
Over 600?
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Did you do it like, American Idol, but instead of singing, you just sort of did some moves on
yes.
the spot in front of
lots
a panel?
Lots of smiling, lots of high kicks.
Shake our booty, yeah. Shake our boobies, shake our...
Yeah. We're shaking everything.
Man,
wow.
Another question. How old were y'all when you all like started on this?
18.
Wow. Oh, bless your heart.
That's
yeah.
fantastic.
Just,
now,
just
I
could
have never been one of those girls. I had no boobs to shake.
Who said that?
Susan.
Your sister did.
Susan, you didn't need boobs to shake because your shaking was so freaking good.
But that's now, and now they don't hire 52-year-olds to shake them.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, you guys, we have to wrap up our show, but we want you to join us again.
We want
okay.
We want to have another party like this.
You told me if it was going well, we're going to the second hour.
As we close tonight, though, we would like to just have a few bars of the rain, the park, and other things.
Oh,
you know what? You guys need
me.
To get a record player.
The rain.
We need to play it.
Rain
on our
falling on it.
Here you go.
Take care. Sat and smiled at me. And
I knew.
Chit chat happy.
Happy.
We could chit chat very happy. Chit chat everywhere.
Everywhere.
Chit chat cafe. Boom, 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 boom. I love the flower girl. Oh, I don't know.
Sing it, Bob.
I'm just kind of laying it like I'm singing in my sleep or something, you know.
Aw, you guys are fabulous.
You're the flower girls.
Hey, guys, yeah. I want to let you know one thing. I'm actually in the bathroom and have been just going to the bathroom for the last half hour. Do you hear the echo? Echo, echo, echo.
Oh, that's okay.
Seriously, swear to God.
No, I'm
sometimes.
Not.
Hey, we're on a hard time here. Go sign off.
Girls, I'm going to go. I've got to put my children to bed.
Please for the conference
out
there.
Ann.
Thank you. Come to our website,
council.com.
Bye,
too.
I'm leaving. Okay,
leaving.
Bye, Susan. Bye.
Come to our
website.
Council.com.
Bye.
Oh, that was such great fun. And we can't wait to have them back again. Tonight we are thanking the Councils, Bob, Paul, and Susan, and also Carol Chatelier and Brenda Remy. Betty Ann, it was great to have you on our show tonight.
Thank you. It's
We'd
fun.
Also like to thank our sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup and St. Croix Orthopedics.
And don't forget to listen to our archives. All you have to do is scroll down our website, click on the date that you want to listen, and you can listen to our archives, some of our past shows. So good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night, Betty Ann. Good night, Nancy.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.